Welcome to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Brad Polk and Bob Leonard in the studio today. Gary Bell's in Steamboat, having a little time off. I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving. We're back at it after a nice Thanksgiving, a good Thursday, good Friday off. So here we are, talking legal, talking law, able to handle your legal problems, any legal questions you might have. We are the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We've been around since 1983. We focus our energies and our cases on personal injury. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of anyone or the negligence of another, please give us a call at 303-795-5900. We will take care of your cases. We've been doing that since 1983. Actually, Gary and I were partnered up or were lawyers in the same law firm prior to that, but started our own law firm back then. And we've been going on for the last 35 years. Bob's been a part of our law firm for how long, Bob?
Going on 15 years, Brad.
15 years. So he's kind of new to our firm in a lot of ways, but he's been here a long time. He's been doing the same thing, handling work comp and personal injury cases. We bring these shows to you. I think we've been bringing this show to you for the last, 15 years or so. I think it was about prior to or about the time you came on, Bob, that we started doing this show.
It's been a long time, and thanks for letting me fill in occasionally.
We found a need for people to be able to call in and ask any question and talk about any question, find out what's going on in their legal lives, if they have anything going on, whether it be a family law matter, whether it be a traffic matter, whether it be anything else we can help you with. We'll try and solve your problems. Quite often we take your number and have one of our attorneys call you when you're during the week, or we try and hook you up with an attorney or somebody who has better knowledge in a specific area than we do. But we specialize at our firm, we specialize in, as I stated, personal injury cases. If you've been hurt by the negligence of another, there's a lot of firms out there that advertise for your work and for your cases. There's a lot of firms that talk about how you've got to rush to them and how it's an emergency, or how they want to talk about all their accolades, all their recovery. We haven't been around for 35 years if we haven't gotten recovery like that. We haven't been around for 35 years if we can't do your job. We can. That's how we make our living. That's what we do. Please look us up at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. You'll see that we have a great many results. We've done a great job for many of our clients, but our goal is to take care of you on your case. Some firms make you feel like if you don't rush that night or that day or within an hour of the crash, if you don't come rushing to them, their case is lost. Bob, what about that?
You know, Brad, sometimes you need to just sit back and think about what the next step is. To rush right into a case, hire an attorney, right off the bat, I think, you know, you need to have step back and think about it and talk to your friends and find a law firm that you think you work with, like Bell and Pollock. And the one thing about Bell and Pollock is once you come to our office, you're going to meet with an attorney, and you continue to work with an attorney, where some of the larger firms maybe meet with an attorney once or twice, and then, you know, probably more often with a paralegal.
If you have a question, you can call us at 303-713-8255. If you want to talk about any legal topic, we're not a political show. We're not a talk show. We're to give you answers to your legal questions. Call us at 303-713-8255. If you're up in Steamboat, call us at 970-457-1009. That's 970-457-1009. We'd be happy to answer any questions you've got. In the meantime, I want you to understand that if you've had a personal injury case, if you've been hurt and it's been a while and you haven't talked to somebody, don't stop and think your case is over with or you can't do anything about getting proper recovery for your injuries. We also handle work comp, and work comp is a specialized area of the law. It's very statute oriented. It's very rules oriented. It's something we've been doing for the last 35 years also. Bob, you do quite a bit of work comp.
You know, Brad, it's probably about 15% of what I do. Work comp is, like you said, structured. There's lots of rules. You miss some rules, it can cause you all sorts of problems. It's one of those things that when you get hurt, you should be consulted with an attorney to make sure that you meet the statutory requirements of reporting and just make sure you get what's yours. One thing about workers' comp, Brad, that people need to understand, workers' comp pays you while you're hurt, and they pay you for your injury, but it's not going to pay you for, you know, if you're severely hurt and you lose your career. And it makes it pretty difficult for some people.
Right. You can be termed a permanent total, which can give you money for the fact that you can no longer work. But it's a different set of rules, and it's a different way of handling things. But work comp is if you've been hurt while you're on the job.
Right. So if you're on the job and you miss three pay periods, so let's say you're scheduled to work the next 3 days and you can't work because you're injured on the job, you need to make sure it's reported. But if you're off the job for 3 days or you have a permanent injury, they need to report it with the state of Colorado. And we find sometimes these corporations, they don't report it. They don't apply for workers' comp like they're supposed to, and we have to come in behind and sort of clean up the mess.
Right. If you're at your job or when you go into your job, look around. There should be a sign posted somewhere that tells you what your work comp rights are. That tells you that you can, and it should also be telling you that if you get hurt while on the job, there's doctors available. And there's doctors that you can go to that the employer has already arranged for you to be able to go to. They're known as work comp doctors. And we're not talking about just sudden injury. We're talking about repetitive injuries. Quite often we're talking about being exposed to a disease, being exposed to a competitive injury, that you can have those type of problems. You can call us at 303-713-8255, or if you're in Steamboat, 970-457-1009. Those are our line, or our show line calls. Lines are open, obviously. Give us a call, 303-713-8255, if you have any legal questions. I know it's the Saturday after Thanksgiving, so hopefully all of you got through Thanksgiving, got through Black Friday. Now you're out there, hopefully, getting ready to go take care of the small business people. For Black Friday was going to all the big shops, and, you know, I'll have to admit, when I looked at all those that newspaper that came to my door and looked at all those flyers, there are a lot of sales out there.
I think it was about 2 or 3 inches thick, just all the ads.
Right, right. And there's a lot of sales, and now you got the small businesses, so you can go out and help, and you can give some of your money to the small businesses and help them stay in existence. By now, all of you have probably gotten tired of turkey. I know that last night, wife and kids and I had to go out to a restaurant because we were already not ready for the leftovers. So,
and just make sure, you know, a lot of times after Thanksgiving, we have so much food and we store it. Make sure your food is stored properly so you don't get sick. I mean,
right.
Did you read that thing in the paper, Brad, about the lettuce, the romaine lettuce?
I don't think you could buy any.
No, there wasn't any available.
I think it was done. But we're here to talk to you about any legal question you have. 303-713-8255. Steamboat 970-457-1009. Been talking a little bit about work comp. Have you been injured on the job? Sometimes that's hard to decide if you've been injured on the job. Are you injured on the job when you're driving to and from your work? Are you injured on a job when you're walking from your office to the cafeteria on the campus of a big corporation and you're going to go have lunch? Are you injured on the job when you're running an errand for your boss or when you're running an errand for somebody? Those are all questions that have to be answered in work comp, because the first step is always, was it an on-the-job injury? Are you injured on the job when you get sick or when you get a disease or when you get some kind of repetitive motion injury? Those are all questions. We can talk about it when we come back. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Brad Polk and Bob Leonard in the studio. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving, so the last thing you're probably thinking about are all your legal matters. You're thinking about what's going to happen for Christmas or the holidays that are coming up, and you're thinking about out there doing the shopping and the great shopping and bargaining and all the good things that are going on, and that's fine too. If you have a question, if you have a legal question, call us at 303-713-8255. Or if you're in Steamboat, call us at 970-457-1009. We'd be happy to talk about your legal questions, any legal problems you have in our real ordinary day lives. We are personal injury lawyers. We handle personal injury cases of all kinds in nature, whether it's a small one or a large one. If you've been hurt by the negligence of another, give us a call. We can help walk you through. We will provide for you a legal game plan. That's a trademarked practice and procedure that we do in our office. We have you come in. We have you sit down. You talk to a lawyer. You can spend an hour or 2 hours. It's going to be somewhere around there if we go through a lot of your case. I know that you can't just stop in and think that within 5 or 10 minutes somebody's going to be able to analyze your case. Most of the time, we can start talking to you about the value of your case, but when you want to know what your case is worth, it's going to take some time. There are a lot of factors that go into determining what your case is worth.
You know, Brad, I tell people, the clients come in, they say, how much my case is worth? And I said, I can't tell you. I don't really know. But I tell them that you go to a law firm and they tell you what your case is worth. And they just give you a monetary number without even a chance to look at any records. You should go up and walk out.
You might want to run out. Because let me tell you something. There's a lot of factors that go in. Now, we'll talk to you about the factors. We'll tell you about things you need to know. One of the things we're going to talk to you about is we're going to talk to you about insurance. We're going to talk to you about how much insurance the other side has, how much insurance you have. And all of you sitting there right now, if you stop and think, how much insurance do you have? Do you have uninsured motorist insurance? Do you have underinsured motorist insurance? Now, we're going to get back into the work comp questions that I gave you a little earlier, but let's have some basic rules on a car crash. On a car crash, first basic rule, if you've been in a car crash and it's not your fault, it's been caused by someone else, whether you think you're hurt or not, call the police. Unless it's one of the times when you're not supposed to be calling him or when you're on some type of a reason not to be calling him, call the police and get it checked, get it dealt with, have somebody come out. I just this past week had somebody call me up, and they were driving in their lane. Somebody came into their lane, sideswiped them, hit the front part of their vehicle. But they all went over to the side. The person didn't feel too bad, thought they'd be okay. There was some damage to the car, and the person that had hit them, she said that her plates were expired. She said she had just moved to state, just started a job, and she please don't call the police. Let's just let the insurance company take care of this, and we'll be fine, and gave the insurance company information. Now, I know all you're thinking, oh, what happened? Was there no insurance? To the contrary, what happened was is she then went to her insurance adjuster and said it was this guy's fault. He hadn't called the police, said it was his fault, said he had sped up and didn't give her the opportunity to get into the lane. Well, now you got a question. When you're right there on the scene, people sometimes are very much more truthful than when you give them a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to think about it.
You know, Brad, that happened to me driving home from work. So now I drive with the dash cam.
There you go. A lot of people do drive with dash cams. A lot of people do have cameras. There are a lot of times businesses and neighboring businesses have cameras. But the bottom line is, if you've been in a crash, and especially this person was on the job and was in a company vehicle, so he's now trying to explain it to his company. You need to call the police. Just get them out there, have them check it out, have them do what they're supposed to do. If not, if it's one of those where you don't have to because there's minor injury or no injuries, then get down to the police department and make your counter report. Do what you're supposed to do. Now, that's the beginning part. We're going to talk about insurance here in a few minutes. Actually, we're taking advantage of the fact that we don't have any calls. The lines are open. You can call us at 303-713-8255 or 970-457-1009. We're taking advantage of catching up on some things. So here's the scenario. You're at home. The boss calls you and says, you know, I feel like giving breakfast to the employees. So the boss says, why don't you swing by and pick up some bagels and donuts and bring them in to work with you, and so we can give the rest of the employees some bagels and donuts for breakfast. And so you swing by and you go into the store and you buy the bagels and you buy the donuts. And you get out and you get in your car, and as you're heading back from having purchased those bagels and donuts with them right there in the seat, all of a sudden you're in a crash and you get hurt. Is that a work comp claim? Are you on the job or not? All you've done is you went out maybe a block out of the way, got your bagels and donuts, and got right back to the same spot. where you were and how you had been driving.
Well, what happened to the donuts, the bagels?
Well, the employees didn't get them. They went on the floor. But are you on the job or are you not on the job?
You know, Brad, you probably are on the job. If your boss calls you up at home and says, pick up those bagels and donuts, and you bring them to work and you get on the job, hit by a car on the job, you actually may have two claims. You probably have a workers' comp claim because you actually at that point you're doing something for the business, for the boss, and it's probably a workers' comp claim. But you also have the auto claim with the person who hits you.
Now, we're going to go into it more, and we'll talk about it more here in a little bit. But first, we're going to talk to JR, who has a question about premises liability. JR, how are you doing today?
Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, our pleasure. What can we do for you?
Yeah, premises liability. I'm a homeowner. How do I protect myself from somebody that gets, you know, a wanted guest or unwanted guest on my property? What's some of the protection I can have besides my homeowner's insurance?
You know, JR, that's going to be, you made a big statement when you said wanted guest versus unwanted guest, because the law has definitions now about invitees versus licensees versus trespassers. And basically, we start with an invitee. And if this is somebody who you've invited onto your property to do business, and as a homeowner, you probably aren't going to have anybody that's an invitee. And that's somebody who comes onto your house and into your property to do business there, where you're going to find a financial gain. And to that person, you owe the highest duty, and that's that you have to warn them or protect them against against obvious, dangerous conditions on your property that you knew or should have known about in the exercise of reasonable care.
That's the highest standard of care. Like Brad said, you have to protect these people from things on your property that you knew or should have known about, which is a higher standard of care, which would be the next level, which would be someone who's a licensee who comes on your property, not necessarily transact business, but you invite them into your house. Like a Christmas, let's say you have a Christmas party at your house and you invite your neighbors over. They're not invitees, they're licensees, and you only have to protect them about those things you knew about.
You actually knew about. And then finally you get trespassers when you said unwanted people, an unwanted person comes onto your property, then you don't owe them a duty at all. You don't have any duties that you owe them against. And so they're trespassers, and you really don't have to protect them. There's very little chance a trespasser is going to be successful in any kind of claim against you. So when you say, how do you protect yourself? The best thing I can tell you is, you want to have your house in a situation where you believe any danger you knew or should have known about, or any danger, defective condition that you feel is dangerous, that you give some kind of warning. If it's a pond, you've got it back somewhere, or you've got warnings to stay away from it. If you think there are children in the neighborhood, that's a different situation. But basically, if you have a pool, you want to make sure you have it properly fenced in. If you just have a regular house where you don't have any of those things and it's just your front yard, you can feel pretty safe that you don't have a danger.
What about ice and snow, Brad? What about shoveling your sidewalk? It's going to be snowing pretty soon.
JR, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm staying there. I'm just listening. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. And on ice and snow, one of the first places you're going to look is you're going to be talking about some kind of duty or responsibility you've got to clear the ice and snow. And that duty or responsibility can start with whether or not you have neighboring property, which is your sidewalk, which actually is not your property, but it's whether or not you have a duty to clear the ice and snow. And that's something you do have to do, and you usually have 24 hours when it gets to a certain degree to get it off.
Sometime. You know, Brad, I had a case many years ago where these people had a Christmas party, and they had ice on the stoop going in the front door, and the people coming to the party are licensees, so they only had to protect them against those duties, things that were known. In this case, they said they didn't know there was ice in front of the door. What happened was the gutter was melting every day. The gutter would melt and the water would drip down on the front of the door and it'd freeze at night. They said, well, we didn't know about it because we go use the garage. We don't come to the front door. So their claim was they didn't have a duty because they didn't know about it.
Chances are they got a duty there. They're bringing people in through their front door.
So you have mailmen coming through. I guess they're invitees to conduct business, right? Or somebody put handbills on the doorsteps and that? Are those invitees or?
Handbills are at best licensees, at best. You're not inviting them up.
Or postman.
Letter carrier. The postman may rise to the level of an invitee because you are asking him to come onto your property. All right.
Right, right.
But the handbill people, they're licensees. You don't owe them much of a duty at all. As a matter of fact, if you put a sign up saying no soliciting, they could be placed into the position of a trespasser, and you don't owe them any duty. Just a simple sign. What you want to do is you want to make sure you've got your property in a situation where it's basically nothing that you can openly and obviously see that is a danger to other people.
But you as lawyers could probably punch holes through some of that stuff too, don't you? Your clients or ones that get hurt on a premises, whether it's a house or a business?
We can. There's times when we do, when we talk about why they were on there and what you should have known about and what you shouldn't have known about. JR, right. We got to take a break. Can you hold with us over the break?
No, I'll get off. But thanks a lot. I got enough information there.
All right, we'll talk about more later. Eva will be with you when we come back.
Thank
We've got
you.
Another
Thank
caller on the line. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Paulk Legal Show. Brad Paulk, Bob Leonard in the studio. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. You're in Steamboat, call us at 970-457-1009. We're going to talk to Eric for a few minutes, and we're going to talk some good food. Eric, what do you got down there for us?
We got some new specials to run for you guys today. We are doing corned beef hash for our breakfast special, so you can substitute that for the regular hash browns on any one or two egg plate that we offer. That will be the breakfast special for the rest of the week. And then our lunch special is going to be a pork chorizo burrito. We're trying that out. That may end up on the menu real soon. It seems to be real popular. That comes with the homemade beans, the Spanish rice, of course, that red or green chili on top, either one you like. They're both really good. They're both scratch-made. That comes also with lettuce, tomato, guacamole, and sour cream on the side. So that will be the lunch special for the rest of the week. And we're doing gingerbread pancakes. I know you like to hear that. So we're doing gingerbread pancakes in addition to those other specials. And we're going to run that one all the way through the end of the year. So you'll have gingerbread pancakes left over. I actually even have some pumpkin spice pancakes still going on, so you can ask for those. Just ask your server for those. Those are kind of just tucked away right there. But the gingerbread pancakes are going to be here all the way to the end of the year, so definitely check that out. That's also scratch made. And guys, we are still doing every Monday and every Friday from 11 to 2. It's the all-you-can-eat taco burrito buffet. It is all you can eat, and it actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price of that buffet. Those are scratch-made products. Tons of scratch-made stuff to check out down at Kalen's. We do have crafts and mimosas. That's not scratch-made, but they are $13.50, and they are available. We have that going. I think the afternoon weather should allow some deck seating if you guys want to give it a try. I know Coloradans try to brave the weather and give it a shot, so we'll have that available if you want to. Tons of other things as well. Flat screens are on, sports all over, basketball, you name it, it's on TV. Tons of things to check out down at Kalen's restaurant, guys.
Eric?
Yes?
My favorite non-pancake meal, the Southern. Tell us what's in the Southern.
Absolutely.
Southern,
so the Southern
bowl
is a pile of hash browns, golden brown hash browns. We load some diced sausage on there and diced bacon. We use a cream pepper gravy on top of that. Two eggs of your choice, a little bit of cheese on top of that. And people do actually sometimes get the chili on the side with that Mile High Southern. So that is definitely a popular one there, along with the chicken fried steak and the chicken fried chicken, which also comes with that gravy as well. So that is definitely one of the many options that we have. So come on down and see us.
Where are you at, Eric?
Guys, we are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is the Glendale Shopping Center. Guys, stop by. You won't regret it. You'll love it every bite of the way.
Okay, Eric. I'll see you a little later, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a
Thanks.
Good day.
You too. You're listening to the Bell and Paulk Legal Show. We're going to stay right with the phones. We're going to go over to Eva, and we're going to talk to Eva about a non-insured motorist question. Eva, what's up?
Yes. I had called earlier. My son had an accident on the way to Denver on I-25. Someone quickly pulled in front of him, and he stepped on his brakes, and the person behind him smashed into him pretty bad, and everybody exchanged insurance information. And as soon as that was in the evening, as soon as he called the guy behind him's insurance company, the insurance company said, "Oh yeah, he bought the insurance, and on the same day after he got his ID, his insurance identification, he canceled."
The person who caused the crash had canceled their insurance that quickly?
The person behind my son, it was at least three cars.
Okay. All right. So he had canceled it the same day?
They said as soon as he got his, printed up his insurance, he canceled right after that.
Okay. First of all, you want to verify that and find out, okay? That sounds highly suspicious about the whole thing.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
We want to verify that. We want to verify that because that sounds very suspicious to buy it, and the minute it gets all written up, then they cancel it. And if there was someplace else he went and got insurance, because there could be another place. He might have found something cheaper. It's not very often you find somebody just canceling like that.
There's a thought, yeah.
He might have gone somewhere else to get insurance, and that just takes a little bit of legwork and some detective work getting that information. The second thing is, does your son have uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage?
That's the first thing I had mentioned to him, and he doesn't think he does. And I told him it's so cheap to add that on. I said, do that, whatever else you don't do. Please get uninsured motorist insurance.
Right. Now, to not have that, he has to sign that away. If he didn't sign it away, he's got it, whether he thought he had it or not.
Okay? Oh, I will pass that on to him. I didn't know that.
So, you know, that's another step. Now, was your son hurt in the crash?
No.
Okay. So we're talking about motor vehicle damage.
Right. Okay. Right. He was in an Expedition, a pretty big vehicle, and the vehicle that hit him in the back was a smaller vehicle, RAV4.
Okay. I think what we need to do is you pass that on to him, but what I want to do with you is I want to get your name and number, Eva, and call and have somebody call you off the line and help you try and find the insurance. That's what we got to do.
Okay.
So, have your son, we'll call you this coming week. Have your son get the accident report. If not, we'll help him get one, okay? We want to see all the parties involved so we can try and help him find insurance, okay?
Okay.
And we can also then also look at the person if they did cancel their insurance and were driving around as an uninsured person. Then we can talk about restitution. But how long ago did the crash happen?
Let's see, the 10th. No, the 8th or 9th of November.
Okay, then we want to talk to you this week. Okay, so if for some reason you don't get a call from us, you call our office, 303-795-5900. We'll be repeating it throughout the show. And you call our office because we want to get on this right away to talk about that person who caused the accident, paying restitution, and the district attorney's office who will be handling the ticket that he got will help us get restitution for your son, okay?
But the police were not called.
No police were called.
Right. So okay. There would not be an accident report or a ticket.
Different story then. Let's get a hold of you, and we'll talk to you, and we'll try and find this person's insurance for you, okay?
Did he file a bench report?
You called it a bench report?
Well, did he go to the police department afterwards and file a report?
No, I don't believe he did.
Okay, let us give you a call and set you up with some people to and try and help you find some insurance, or maybe even start a small claims court lawsuit or a lawsuit against this person to get paid.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so you hold. Kevin's going to get all your information, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling the Bell and Polk Legal Show. We're going to stay right with the calls. We're going to take them in the order they came. We're going to talk to Jerry about a car accident question. Jerry, you got a car accident question.
Yes, sir. This is in regards to my wife. She was just ready to go into a car wash, one of these automatic car washes where you go on the conveyor, you put the car in neutral, and it takes you in. Well, she was starting to go through, and she was maybe 20 feet into the car wash, and all of a sudden she felt a jerking motion, which she thought it was just the brushes hitting the car like it always does. Well, it happened a few more times as she looks in the mirror, and it's a truck hitting her from behind. And it's jarring her around. Well, the police were called after. Well, first of all, this guy that was driving this truck, my wife has a four-door sedan. The truck that hit her was a big Ram four-wheel drive, pretty high. He had a push guard and a winch on the front, which caused quite a bit of damage. It was like close to $6,000 damage to my wife's vehicle.
Wow.
Zero to the truck, of course. Anyway, it jarred her around. The car wash people had them both pull over. They took they exchanged information. This guy refused to talk or look at anyone. The management asked him questions, and he just wouldn't even shake his head. He wouldn't even look. He just stood on his phone texting the whole time. So I believe that's what he was doing when the wreck, but you can't prove it. So anyway, my wife, she didn't really feel nothing that day. The next day, her neck was hurting, and she was getting headaches, and her leg was hurting her. So we went to the emergency room. They checked her out. She started getting care, physical therapy, chiropractors, medication. Now, it got to the point where the insurance company needed her to go to a pain management specialist, which she went, and they wanted to do a fusing of some nerves, which we started checking around, and that's like a 50-50 thing where you either have success or you have no success from the shots,
right?
And you end up with future problems because of your fusing the nerves. Now, she, by refusing not to get the shots recommended by the pain specialist, is that putting her any kind of jeopardy of future claims or insurance, or is that fall under denial of treatment?
No. There is a requirement to mitigate damages. Mitigate damages does not require you to take a procedure that you don't approve of that can be every bit as dangerous. So you're probably safe on that. How long ago did this crash happen?
It's actually just went one year.
Okay. We need to talk to you. We need to talk to you about a lot of detail about what you need to do next. Hey, did you find out the insurance from the guy who hit you? Do you have that information?
Yeah, the police refused to come to the car wash because it's private property, and there was they said no alcohol, no drugs involved. And I said, well, we don't know that because the guy even refused to look at the management trying to get the information. We ended up by going straight over to the police department, which they said we had to do it because this happened on a Saturday, which the main office at the police department was closed. So we tried again on Monday to do a report, and they said we needed more information on this guy. He says, well, he refused to talk to us. So we finally ended up by getting a sergeant involved, and he took the information. They checked into it. He refused to get in contact. They left him several messages, cards, so on. It took like 7 to 10 days finally for him to get back. And they said they were going to put a warrant for his arrest for a failure to comply.
Hey, Jerry, we got to take a quick break. Can you hold with us over the break?
Yes.
Okay, hold with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We got to take a short break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Jerry. And then after Jerry, Bill, you're up next. We'll talk to both of you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bill and Paul Kliegel Show. Brad Paul and Bob Leonard in the studio today. Hey, everybody, make sure you listen to the upcoming show. We got Barry and Larry on the Consumer Real Estate Show. Give it a listen. Listen to those guys. They know their real estate, and this is a time when you really want to be able to deal with real estate and make sure you got everything under control. We're talking to Jerry. Jerry, car accident question. Sounds like you had a real uncooperative person that you really had to pry information out of.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the things we got, my wife did call an attorney. The attorney's office sent him several notices to call. Well, of course, that's up to him. They say you shouldn't talk to anyone, no type of attorney. Anyway, he refused to send any kind of letters, and I guess a few people that do know him saying that, they said, wait, we understand you got in a car accident. He wouldn't talk to them, say nothing. He's just a real sarcastic person. He's a, it's just personal hearing about him.
Did he give you insurance information, Jerry?
Yes, they didn't get in contact. He has Liberty Mutual, if I'm supposed to say that. My wife, we have State Farm.
Okay.
The insurance company also, the other thing is they're trying to get our insurance company is trying to get some kind of information in regards to my wife's seeing doctors, and they're kind of dragging their feet. Don't the doctors have a certain amount of time limit to respond to that, to send the paperwork that my wife's being treated with, or
no? They don't. They don't have a time period because you know they do it based on how she's reacting or recovering from her injuries and what treatment she's getting. But
okay.
But we, you know, that's the kind of thing. You said you talked to an attorney. Do you have an attorney representing you?
Yes, she does.
Okay, she signed a fee agreement with the attorney.
Yes.
Okay, so this attorney should be checking with the doctor, talking to him, finding out what the status is, finding out how she's doing and if she's going forward and what's going on, finding out if she's getting any kind of treatment and whether that treatment is something that, like you said, when she rejects it, okay, is there an alternative form of treatment? What's the result? Okay, if the risk is greater, make sure that's all documented. Find out how this is affecting her in her daily life. Find out how it's affecting her in her home services or her home care, and finding out how it's taking care of her throughout her entire life, if she's working, how it's affecting her work. And this attorney should already know what the policy limits are and what the insurance coverage is of the of the person who hit her. You've been into this for a year, so this information should be known, or lawsuits should be started.
They just send paperwork saying that they're still waiting for her doctor to send the results and what kind of treatment and how, like you said, the results. She has to take Tylenol. She's not one for it. She hates stronger medication. They wanted to give her some pretty hard medicine because of the pain. She has bad headaches every day. Has to go to bed with a sleep in an upright position, and she has a tough time sleeping because of the chronic pain in her neck.
Is she keeping a diary on this, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay. We want a diary on this to make sure she's keeping it and she's taking track of it. Let's do this. Do you have some time this coming week we can talk to you off the air?
Sure.
Okay. Well, let us get your number and give you a call. Okay. We'll act kind of like in a situation of a second opinion real quick to make sure you feel comfortable. Sounds like your attorney is on it and is keeping advice. So, you know, if your attorney's doing a good job, let's leave him there. But let's give you some secondary advice. And if it differs with what your attorney is saying, then we'll be able to work it out. But if not, let's make sure you feel comfortable about everything that's going on. We'll give you a second idea of what's happening and just see if we can't help you. All right.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. So hold, let us get your name and number and we'll give you a call. All right.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show, 303-713-8255. We're going to stay right on lines, go to Bill. Bill, thanks for holding for us.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
I had a neighbor. We used to share the tree expenses, you know, on the property line.
Okay.
Well, anyway, this particular time, he wanted his buddy to do it. And his buddy was more expensive than the guys who normally be using. It was a licensed tree company. And so he goes, well, I'm going to have my guy do it. And I go, well, that's fine. If he comes on my property, I want to see proof of insurance. Okay. I had an early doctor's appointment one morning. I come home. Chainsaw is running in the backyard. I go out the back door. He is in my backyard with the contractor. I go, how'd you get in? He goes, I reached underneath the fence. Well, he broke in. He reached underneath the fence and pushed the gate in and busted the latch up on top.
Okay.
Is that criminal trespassing?
Well, he's a trespasser. How long ago did this happen?
My wife thinks it's been longer. I think it's 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay. Did you call the police when this happened?
No, I should have. That's what I should have done right away. Okay.
As far as whether it's trespass. Now, here's the thing. Trespass has an element of what we call intent to it. And the question is, did this guy think he was trespassing, or did his neighbor, or did your neighbor tell him it was okay to go in there? Now,
well, he was in the backyard with him.
Okay. So the neighbor, the question you've got is, did the neighbor look at the guy who's going to do the work on the tree and say, hey, it's all right to go in there? Now, there's no excuse for either one of them breaking the latch.
Right.
That's a problem.
I've always let them in. You know, I've let them take my fence down to put hay in the backyard, you know.
Okay, but that's always been with your permission while you've been there.
Right, right.
All right, this is a situation you're absent, you're not there, and they just help themselves into your property. And like I said, there can be an intent where they would defend saying, we thought we were okay, even though, and then you're left with saying, wait a minute, I told them I didn't want anybody on my property until I knew I had appropriate insurance, and the guy could come onto the property.
Right. Okay. Now, is there a time lapse time?
There could be. If you called the police right now, I think the police would probably look at you and say, wait a minute, we're not going to.
That's what I should have done. I should have called them right then and there.
Right. And at that point, the police would have weeded it out. Now, the good part about that would have been if the police were called.
So it's a long story with this relationship. So just a couple of weeks ago, they tried to steal our property years ago, and I had to get a survey done. So anyway, so he's watering the grass, you know, like it's his property, and I call them white trash.
Okay.
You talk about lighting a fuse.
I'll bet that was not a good move.
And he just won't give it up. That's why I'm looking into it now. I've had enough of his mouth.
I think what you need, Bill, is you need some attorney letters. You need us to send some letters for you telling him. Because what has to be done is you have to establish now this clear division of property lines, this clear division of you're not allowed to just come on my property, bring anybody on my property, help yourself into my property.
Right.
We need to reestablish the lines of division.
The survey is pinned. Okay. He was given a copy of the survey.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take your number. We're going to have an attorney contact you.
Think about it. You know, it's already a range war right now. It's miserable when you fight with your neighbors.
You want us to take your number, or you want to call us when you're ready?
I'll call you guys because, okay. Like I said, I wish it would just go away.
Okay.
You know, I mean, because the latch is about $5. It's not like it's the principal and his attitude.
Give us a call when you're ready.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. You've been listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. You can call us at 303-795-5900 if you have any questions during the week. If you've been injured, give us a call. Contact us at bellpolk.com, championsofthepeople.com. And if you've been injured as a result of negligence of others, make sure you give us a call.
And don't forget to read our blog.
Yes, we have a great blog out there. And you can reach us at 303-795-5900. You all stay safe till next week, and we'll talk to you then.